Manuscript Releases, Volume 7, Mr. Number 454, Reasons for Apostasy in the SDA Church. We are living in these last days, when lukewarmness and apostasy abound. The apostle saw in prophetic vision what should exist near the close of time, and if our hearts were not calloused by sin and iniquity, we should discern and sense the prophetic picture held up to our view. Paul's picture that is presented before us should cause us trembling and anguish of soul. This is the state of a large share of those who have the form of godliness in these last days. The doom of the withered fig tree has a personal application. Who cannot see the living counterpart in the men and women who claim to have great light, in advance of every other people on the face of the earth, whose daily life and unholy characters belie their profession of godliness? There is a manifestation of pride and selfishness in many ways, peevish fretfulness, frivolity, discontent, uncharitableness, and censoriousness, thinking evil, speaking evil of brethren. There is no inward crucifixion of sin. The mold of Christ is not upon them, leaves of profession to conceal their deformity, but no fruit. There is more hope of the open sinner than of such. The chambers of the soul are desecrated by sin to Satan's control. Will this people be Christians? Will they heed the counsel of Christ, be zealous, and repent? Will they have true contrition of heart? Will they humble their hearts before God before it shall be forever too late? Will they repent of their backslidings? May God help you just now, in this thy day, to confess your sins, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, and your name retained in the Lamb's Book of Life. Doctor... will perhaps be able to flourish in his apostasy for a time. But poor man, he will get to the length of his chain ere long. His happy days are almost over. I pity every apostate. I wish not to increase their miserableness, for they have enough to bear. Those who take the side of the great rebel will have the wages of sin, which is death. But those who take the side of Christ will have the gift of God, which is eternal life. Give me the wages which the Lord gives. The enemy is diligently working to see whom he can add to the ranks of apostasy. But the Lord is soon coming, and ere long every case will be decided for eternity. Those whose works correspond with the light graciously given them will be numbered on the Lord's side. There are those who have had great light, who are far from God, who in heart are apostates. If they do not meet a higher standard, if they do not take their stand for Christ, if they pursue in the future the course they have pursued in the past, and neglect to search the Scriptures, neglect to pray, refuse to humble their hearts, to deny self and lift the cross, fail to obey the injunctions of the Scriptures, there will be portioned to them an experience of grief and shame. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The harvest is sure. No frost will blight it, no mildew blast it, no palmer worm devour it. The harvest is sure. If those who claim to believe the truth misrepresent their Lord, they are false lights. They neither burn nor shine. Their sentiments and practices are so mingled with the sentiments and practices of the world that there is scarcely any difference between them and the world. They cherish the same self-love, have the same hungering after foolish pleasures, the same thirsting for amusement. Of them the Word declares that they are heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They are professedly serving God, but serving Him after the fashion of the world. They are presenting to the world a distorted image of what constitutes a Christian. They are molding the minds of those with whom they associate to a low standard of religious life. The irreligious class are degraded by the example of those who profess to be Christians, and yet present to the world only a worldly religion. I have been shown that sleepless vigilance is the price of safety. The truth is still the truth. Not a peg of the principles of our faith has been moved, or will be moved. Even though you and many others apostatize and turn from the precious light that has come to our world, that will not make truth error. Men will arise as they have done to impair confidence in the faith once delivered to the saints. When the test and trial comes to every soul, there will be apostasies. Traitors, heady, high-minded and self-sufficient men will turn away from the truth, making shipwreck of the faith. Why? Because they did not dig deep and make their foundation sure. They were not riveted to the eternal rock. When the words of the Lord, through His chosen messengers, are brought to them, they murmur and think the way is made too straight. Like those who were thought to be disciples of Christ, but who were displeased with His words, and walked no more with Him, they will turn away from Christ. And to be an apostate, a traitor to the cause of God, is much more serious than death. It means the loss of eternal life. When men, after enjoying the truth and accepting the messages sent from God, yield to temptation in a crisis and become offended, when they turn their thoughts in other channels and advocate that which is entirely opposite to their work in the third angel's message, they show that unless they are thoroughly converted, they will follow in the footsteps of Canaanite. In our experience, we have seen some who, although they apparently believed the truth, were not in the truth, and the truth was not in them. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and when once they open the heart to unbelief, Satan comes in to possess the soul. The rapid change that takes place in the character and in the countenance show whom they have chosen as leader. The men who have lately apostatized say that the Sabbath does not amount to much. It makes no difference whether we keep it or do not keep it. They say they are preaching sanctification, but where does their sanctification come in? They began the work of disaffection by their criticism. Here is where they fell, and here is where many will fall. To complain of our brethren in the ministry, to be suspicious of the gifts the Lord has set in the church, to always be finding spot and stain in something said or done, is to follow the enemy. If one chooses to obtain this class of education, Satan will help him in a masterly manner. After the criticizers tell all that appears to them to be out of joint, they go into the manufacturing business and commence to weave webs of falsehood. They abuse the confidence that has been reposed in them and strive to destroy the reputation of the very ones that have ever been their truest friends. Those who have drawn away from us, who have not remained in the truth, will talk. They will fabricate reasons as to why they did not remain steadfast. They will do just as Satan did, cast reproach upon someone else. God will be accused of unfairness. Many unpleasant things have occurred, but we would have this anywhere. We have concluded that A and B are thorough apostates. A says that he will never give up the Sabbath, but it will soon go. The most false statements are being made of me and my work. The most senseless lies that can be manufactured are being circulated. Some of these have been written out, with the names of those to whom they were told attached. This recent apostasy has been a great trial to us, and has largely increased my burdens in writing. It has hurt my soul. But having done all, we must stand. Paul wrote to Timothy, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, either give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, concerning faith have made shipwreck. If these men who have gone out from us had, as faithful stewards, searched deep into the word of God, and heeded Paul's words of the sixth chapter of Ephesians, they would now have been standing more and still more firmly in the faith. These men have yielded up the Bible truth which has made us what we are, Seventh-day Adventists. They have thought to wrap themselves up in a spurious sanctification, which will accord with any false theories that men may choose to accept. They have not added to their faith, but have detracted from it. Those who have known the truth, who have been blessed by the influence of the Holy Spirit, who have appreciated the truth, but have turned from it, will not be treated merely as impenitent sinners. Their guilt is aggravated, because they have had a knowledge of the truth. They have a knowledge of the defections of church members, and of the difficulty which those in the faith have experienced because of the weak sinful characters of those in the church militant. They can misrepresent the words and actions of the faithful servants of God, who strive to place the straying feet of the erring in the path of holiness. They can put the worst construction on the words and actions of those who labor for the erring. If they are not converted, if they do not choose to put away their evil speaking, if they corrupt their ways before the Lord, they will misinterpret the words of God's servants, and the whole world will rise up in the day of judgment against them. It is not merely the apostasy of these men that we regret. It is their power to hurt, and to make a lie appear as truth. Nothing is sacred with apostates. They add so much to what they think they know, that there is scarcely a semblance of truth in their reports. These false witnesses would just as readily swear to their fabricated lies as to the truth itself. We were anxious to know if the leaders of this rebellion had fallen on the rock and were broken. Do they hold fast their wicked apostasy? A. Is the life and soul of the rebellion he has instigated? He has apostatized from the truth, a secessionist. The revolters against divine government will not ascribe their disaffection to themselves. This will be seen to the close of time. This apostasy in Adelaide is not a new chapter in our experience, as you well know. Apostasy has come into our ranks as it came into heaven, and all who unite with Satan in this kind of work will act on the same principles Satan has worked. Not open, not frank, but in secrecy. Satan must deceive in order to succeed. In vain the net is set in the sight of any bird. It is a great grief for true-hearted souls who love God and keep His commandments, to pass through the experience of seeing men and women apparently taking their position on the Lord's side, and then when some special requirement is presented, which calls for self-denial and self-sacrifice, as the tithing question, becoming offended, and walking no more with Christ, but away from Him. These give evidence that the seed of truth has fallen among thorns, and that the thorns have sprung up and choked it. If these men and women had been truly convicted of sin, if they had allowed truth to cleanse the soul temple from defilement, the thorns would not have had so favorable a chance. They would have been unable to germinate. It is not the fault of the gospel that apostasies occur. Those who apostatize are not truly converted. They have received the truth by halves. The light of truth has not been strengthened by practice, and it is soon quenched, leaving them in greater darkness than before. Cares, riches, pleasures, all are used by Satan as he plays the game of life for human souls. If these tares are not dug out of the heart, they will spring up and bear their harvest. The heart must be diligently searched as with a lighted candle, that all defects may be seen in the light of the law of God, His standard of character. Every briar and thistle must be uprooted as soon as it makes its appearance. If this is not done, men, women, and youth will sell their birthright for some worldly advantage. Each man in this world is charged with his own salvation, which he is to gain through Christ. It is possible for him to do a work as enduring as eternity. If he loses his own soul, he will be charged also with the souls that might have been saved had he used aright his God-given talents. Had he complied with the conditions, had he acted his part by giving God's warning and invitation, had he shown a living interest in the work of God in behalf of the souls for whom Christ paid the price with his own blood, he would have been accounted a faithful steward. In proportion to his faithfulness in cooperating with God would have been his reward. Just as far as we give ourselves unselfishly to God, so far shall we be honored by God. Those who have been blundering along, making little advancement, may be saved as by fire. They have worked in wrong lines, but if they repent, God will forgive them. Those who have done their best to elevate, purify, and ennoble humanity, who have knit their hearts to the hearts of others, and the hearts of others to God, will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Their work is imperishable. We are now living in the last days, when the truth must be spoken, when in reproof and warning it must be given to the world, irrespective of consequences. If there are some who will become offended and turn from the truth, we must bear in mind that there were those who did the same in Christ's day. When the greatest teacher the world has ever known spoke the truth, many of his disciples become offended and walked no more with him. But truth will bear away the victory. Those who will maintain the truth, irrespective of consequences, will offend some whose hearts are not in harmony with the truth as it is in Jesus. These persons cherish theories of their own, which are not the truth. The truth does not harmonize with their sentiments, and rather than give up their own ideas, they walk away from those who obey the truth. But there are men who will receive the truth, and these will take the places made vacant by those who became offended and leave the truth. We shall in the future, as we have in the past, see all kinds of characters developed. We shall witness the apostasy of men in whom we have had confidence, in whom we trusted, who, we supposed, were as true as steel to principle. Something comes to test them, and they are overthrown. If such men fall, some say, whom can we trust? This is the temptation Satan brings to destroy the confidence of those who are striving to walk in the narrow way. Those who fall have evidently corrupted their way before the Lord, and they are beacons of warning, teaching those who profess to believe the truth that the word of God alone can keep men steadfast in the way of holiness, or reclaim them from guilt. The Word of God is the pearl of great price. It is unchangeable, eternal. Truth as it is in Jesus sets men right and keeps them so. But when men show themselves to be unimpressible, unable to appreciate the pearl of great price, when they deal dishonestly with God and unrighteously with their fellow men, it is not best to link up with them. We shall meet those who have so perverted their conscience that they are unable to discern the precious truths of God's word. Then let all be careful with whom they connect. The truth is no truth to those who do not obey it. Those who are doers of the word have found the pearl of great price. The truth is as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. When men drift away from the principles of truth, they always betray sacred trusts. Let every soul, whatever may be his sphere of action, make sure that the truth is implanted in the heart by the power of the Spirit of God. When we see those who for nearly a lifetime have been standing on the platform of truth, deciding that they can just as well as not unite with the men who do not recognize the law of Jehovah, seeking their influence and support, our hearts are made sad. They think they can occupy a non-committal position. Thus believers slip away from the truth to the side of unbelievers, and the enemy exults. There are before us issues that will bring those who sincerely desire to do right to the true position. But there are those who will never again stand safe. In trying to break down the barriers between him that serves God and him that serves him not, they have placed themselves where their feet will never again find solid ground. Those who exalt self place themselves in Satan's power, preparing to receive his deceptions as truth. There are ministers and workers who will present a tissue of nonsensical falsehoods as testing truths, even as the Jewish rabbis presented the maxims of men as the bread of heaven. Sayings of no value are given to the flock of God, as their portion of meat in due season, while the poor sheep are starving for the bread of life. There seems to be a burning desire to get up something fictitious and bring it in as new light. Thus men try to weave into the web as important truths a tissue of lies. This fanciful mixture of food that is being prepared for the flock will cause spiritual consumption, decline, and death. There are those who say, not only in their hearts, but in all their works, "My Lord delayeth his coming." They show the effect of error upon them by smiting their fellow servants and eating and drinking with the drunken. As in the days of Noah, those who have had great light will show their inconsistency. Because Christ's coming has been long foretold, they conclude that there is a mistake in regard to this doctrine. But the Lord says, "If the vision tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not tarry past the time that the message is borne to all nations, tongues, and peoples." Shall we who claim to be students of prophecy forget that God's forbearance to the wicked is a part of his vast and merciful plan, by which he is seeking to compass the salvation of souls? Shall we be found among the number who cease to cooperate with the Lord, and who are found saying, "My Lord delays his coming"? Faith in God and a love for souls gives men a genuine motive for faithfulness. It leads them to work faithfully, that others may not be ruined by the example of unbelief which has ruined so many souls. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Why? Because they failed to work diligently. The message given man to proclaim in these last days is not to be amalgamated with worldly opinions. In these days of peril, nothing but obedience will keep man from apostasy. God has bestowed on man great light and many blessings. But unless this light and these blessings are received, they are no security against apostasy and disobedience. When those whom God has exalted to positions of high trust turn from him to human wisdom, their light becomes darkness. And how great is that darkness? Their entrusted capabilities are a snare to them. They become an offense to God. There can be no mockery of God without the sure result. A spurious light will be accepted in the place of truth by some who feel called upon to be expositors of the Scriptures, because of their calling or position. Extravagance, dishonesty, fraud, licentiousness, are mingled with sacred things, until no difference is made between the sacred and the common. Many who claim to preach the word contemplate some portions of Scripture truth, but do not apply it to the heart and character. They expatiate upon the plan of redemption, and upon the law of God, and become enthusiastic upon some of these glorious themes, but they take no personal interest in the matter. Christ is not brought into their lives. Can we then be surprised to hear of ministers falling under temptation and sin, disgracing the cause they were professedly advocating? Can we wonder that there are apostasies when men who urge conversion upon others are not themselves converted, when they commend to others the love of Christ, which does not glow in their own souls, preaching repentance which they themselves have not practiced, and faith which they have no experimental knowledge of, telling of a Savior whom they have never known except by rumor? They are self-deceived men, not far from destruction. Pitiful indeed is their situation. All may seem peaceful to them, because the palsy of death is upon them. After his, Ken writes, apostasy, why need you say the things in regard to him you have? God did not treat apostates in this way, and if you had anything to say, say it without putting such things in the paper. I tell you, brethren, I am troubled when I see you take positions that you forbid others to take and that you would condemn in others. I do not think this is the right way to deal with one another. The great apostasy is working to a point, and will develop into darkness deep as midnight, impenetrable as sackcloth of hair. This is the time to employ any system that can be devised to discover and counteract the leaven of error. Let there be light. There should be 100 light-bearers in our world where there is one today. Darkness will become more dense in human minds after the truth has penetrated and been rejected. But there are some minds where the darkness will be removed. They recognize the light. The apostasy will exist in this night of spiritual darkness. It will then be destroyed by the brightness and exceeding glory of Christ's coming. Oh, what a day of gladness for the righteous that will be! What a breaking up of the spell of fanaticism and delusive sentiments when Christ shall shine forth before his ancients gloriously! Then the system of satanic delusion which souls have preferred to the truth that involves a cross will be broken up. Obedience to all the commandments of God is the only true sign of sanctification. Disobedience is the sign of disloyalty and apostasy. The Lord Jesus declared before the worshippers in the synagogue, "This is the bread that cometh down from heaven." It was necessary that he should speak the truth in regard to his work, that he might test those who claimed to be his disciples. They needed to be proved, and this before he should leave them, lest their apostasy should come as a surprise to the true disciples, and the trial be too severe for them. Christ saw that this test was essential for the safety of his future work, that it should not be swayed into wrong paths. Many who have known the truth have corrupted their way before God and departed from the faith. The broken ranks will be filled up by those represented by Christ as coming in at the 11th hour. We know that unconsecrated Seventh-day Adventists, who have a knowledge of the truth, but who have linked themselves with worldlings, will depart entirely from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. The enemy will gladly hold out inducements to them, to lead them to carry on a warfare against the people of God. But those who are true and steadfast will have a strong and powerful defense in God. The greatest light and blessing that God has bestowed is not a security against transgression and apostasy in these last days. Those whom God has exalted to high positions of trust may turn from heaven's light to human wisdom. Their light will then become darkness, their God-entrusted capabilities a snare, their character an offense to God. God will not be mocked. A departure from him has been and always will be followed by its sure results. The commission of acts that displease God will, unless decidedly repented of and forsaken, instead of seeking to justify them, lead the evildoer on step by step in deception, till many sins are committed with impunity. If he should in parable have presented to him the difference between the genuine and the false, the eternal contrast between truth and falsehood, if he would see the need of integrity in the everyday life, his heart would be filled with humiliation and sorrow, as he thought of the influence of his departures from righteousness, and of the many who had learned from him how to act under similar circumstances. Would he not strive to break the yoke of habit? Would he not cease to do evil, no longer remaining feeble in moral power, lacking the grace of Christ, feeling no right to claim pardon and to put on the robe of Christ's righteousness? I am instructed that false theories will be presented, and that some in the medical missionary work, who have been wavering, will yield up the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The spirit that led to the apostasy in heaven is in unceasing activity in all parts of the world. Satan flatters his subjects with the assurance that their forces will be sure to conquer. At this crisis, all are called upon to take their position. We must stand apart from those who are determined to make shipwreck of the faith. We must not sell our Lord at any price. We are to refuse to listen to the sophistries that have been brought in to make of no effect the truth for this time. Not a stone is to be moved in the foundation of this truth, not a pillar moved. The time has come when even in the church and in our institutions, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But God will keep that which is committed to him. Through those who depart from the faith, the power of the enemy will be exercised to lead others astray. Be not deceived. Many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We have now before us the Alpha of this danger. The Omega will be of a most startling nature. Do not remain in the fog of skepticism until it is too late for you to find your bearings. Entire consecration to God puts to an end all vain, foolish suppositions and imaginations. If isolated sentences, separated from their true setting, are taken from my writings and used to substantiate erroneous positions, I must meet this effort by publishing some things that I would prefer to withhold. I am weary of trying to withstand the attempts that are being made to do violence to the truth that should be proclaimed at this time. If my words are taken by some to sustain error, I shall not be led into controversy, but I shall continue to set before the people the truth as God designs them to understand it. I shall endeavor to make my words so plain that they cannot be misinterpreted. The truth of God will be vindicated and effect the purpose that God designed it should. The mind can only be freed from error when every thread is cut that binds it to the fallacy of the enemy. A great reformation is needed among the people of God. Many sapless and unfruitful branches are to be removed from the parent vine. Everything will be shaken that can be shaken, that which cannot be shaken may remain. The enemy has worked upon the minds of some, and has led them to do violence to our past experience by mingling with the truth erroneous and false theories. He has led ministers and teachers to weave into their doctrines some pleasing figures of his own invention. Every deviation from the truth as we have advocated it in the past is a departure from truth that has been witnessed by the Holy Spirit, and upon which God has placed his seal. Truth must stand in its own order, linked only with truth. Unbelief disturbs the balance of the system of truth and tends to destroy the whole. The mind that cherishes sentiments that tend to destroy the foundation of the faith that has made us what we are becomes confused and cannot discern between truth and error. The truths that have been substantiated by the manifest working of God are to stand fast. Let no one presume to move a pin or a foundation stone from the structure. Those who attempt to undermine the pillars of our faith are among those of whom the Bible says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I am instructed to say that we must do all we possibly can for these deceived ones. Their minds must be freed from the delusions of the enemy, and if we fail in our efforts to save these erring ones, we must come out from among them and be separate. Christ is our sufficiency. Those who indeed receive him as a personal savior will reveal honesty and integrity in all their dealings. There will be no robbery, no underhand dealing. We are to be rooted and built up in Christ, that we may not be carried away by the science of the great deceiver. Already some are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There are those who boast that they have been studying science for years. But what has this science done for them? Just what it did for Satan in the heavenly courts. Isaiah 29 verses 9 to 16, quoted, "Every word of this will be fulfilled." There are those who do not humble their hearts before God, and who will not walk uprightly. They hide their true purposes, and keep in fellowship with the fallen angel, who loveth and mocketh a lie. The enemy puts his spirit upon the men whom he can use to deceive those who are partially in the dark. Some are becoming imbued with the darkness that prevails, and are setting the truth aside for error. The day pointed out by prophecy is come. Jesus Christ is not understood. Jesus Christ is to them a fable. At this stage of the earth's history, many act like drunken men. Stay yourselves, and wonder, cry ye out, and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine, they stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. A spiritual drunkenness is upon many who suppose they are the people who shall be exalted. Their religious faith is just as is represented in this scripture. Under its influence, they cannot walk straight. They make crooked paths in their course of action. One and then another, they reel to and fro. They are looked upon by the Lord with great pity. The way of truth they have not known. They are scientific schemers, and those who could and should have helped, because of a clear spiritual eyesight, are themselves deceived, and are sustaining an evil work. We are to revive the truth, to stand in the truth. Whoever is determined to depart from the faith cannot be helped by you. All your reasoning will be as idle tales. The rulers of the land will take their position above the great creator of the world. The claims of a false Sabbath will be brought to the front, and the rulers and the people will act upon the principle of a short-sighted policy. The false Sabbath, the first day of the week, will be accepted, and the rulers will unite with the man of sin to restore his lost ascendancy. Laws enforcing the observance of Sunday as the Sabbath will bring about a national apostasy from the principles of republicanism upon which the government has been founded. The religion of the papacy will be accepted by the rulers, and the law of God will be made void. Those who link up with the world, denying the faith, and refusing to be the denominated people of the Lord's choosing, showing by their actions that they believe that there should be no special distinction between believers and unbelievers, will surely be left to the result of their choice. There are those who, though knowing the truth that has brought us out from the world as Seventh-day Adventists, have denied the faith. Those who are departing from the faith are at work to undermine the confidence of others, and they have been thus at work for years. Our warnings come from the one who is interested in us, because he sees our dangers, and is acquainted with the conniving of those who are opposed to his truth. Ministers and doctors may depart from the faith, as the word declares they will, and as the messages that God has given his servant declare they will. Thus believers will be given evidence that the word of God, the warnings he has given, are being fulfilled right among us. Some may make light of these messages, misinterpret them, and say untruthful things, which lead others' minds astray. Our only hope is in the God of truth. Our mediator understands every phase of the matter. The more plainly the testing truth is brought before the people, the more bitter will be the hatred manifested by those who have departed from the faith and given their attention to sentiments of Satan's presentation. Never before have I carried so sad a heart as since I have seen the apostasy of men and women who have had great light and an abundance of evidence of the truth for this time. This brings to me a grief that should be spared me in these closing days of earth's history. But I have no power to change the seductive working of the enemy. The scripture has said that such things will come. I accept the word of the Lord and submit to the conditions that arise. We have the same dangers to meet as had the apostles. There are men today who practice sleight and cunning craftiness, who lend themselves as instruments to do the work of the enemy, and when I see the enemy at work I cannot hold my peace. To walk in all the truth means being truthful in word and in deed, constantly developing in the graces of a Christian character. The essential unity of believers, as set forth in the word of God, is to be a standard to which we must all earnestly strive to attain. Christ has given his people an example, that they need make no mistake. We must ever be watchful that we may imitate our divine pattern. Many have received all the evidences of truth that God will ever give them. They have permitted and encouraged false sentiments, and they have practiced deception to cover up their apostasy. Men who refuse to be converted and come into line, and use their capabilities to advance the work on Bible principles, will set up their own ideas, follow their own devisings, retain their own erroneous suppositions, and work to create disunion and lead souls from the true path. This we have seen illustrated in the experience of some at Battle Creek. God is speaking to his people today as he spoke to Israel through Moses, saying, "Who is on the Lord's side? My brethren, take your position where God bids you. Leave alone those who, after light has been repeatedly given them, have taken a stand on the opposite side. You are not to spend precious time in repeating to them what they already know, and thus lose your opportunities of entering new fields with the message of present truth." A great apostasy originally began in a denial of the love of God, as it is plainly revealed in the Word. Provision was then made whereby fallen man might have a powerful revelation of the love of God, and be given an opportunity to return to his allegiance to Jehovah. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I lay down my life for the sheep," say Christ. "The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Here is a revelation of the power mighty to save to the uttermost. God is light and love. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. The time of this apostasy is here. Every conceivable effort will be made to throw doubt upon the positions that we have occupied for over half a century. We hope that no means will be drawn from you to help those who have gone out from us because they are not of us. There are many needy missionary fields that call for our help. The message of present truth must be carried to those who have never heard it. We pray that the Lord will give you wisdom to place your means where it will build up the cause of God in the earth. I have been referred to case after case where men have spoken just such messages, righteousness by faith, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, yet who later on, because they have not learned the lesson of walking humbly with God, and have failed to make Christ their efficiency, their front guard and their rearward, have become self-exalted and have lost their spiritual eyesight. Let our workers study the Epistle of Jude, for he speaks of the conditions that will be met in our day. We shall be called to meet those who, notwithstanding definite reproof and warning through the testimonies, have gone on in an evil course. We are bidden of God to hold ourselves separate and distinct from these men who have not given heed to his warnings. Some of them will seek to enter our churches, but we are to give no place to them. If they are converted, they will bear a different testimony. But I have a positive warning in reference to men who have departed from the faith. Let not our churches be open for them, for they will deceive, if possible, the very elect. I am not suffering physically, but I am often bowed down with weariness and sorrow of heart as I see those who have departed from the faith working out such a sad experience. I am deeply grieved as I compare the present history of these souls with what their past has been, more grieved than words can express. That the same fountain should send forth sweet water and bitter, that the vine which has borne grapes should now yield wild grapes, this brings pain to my heart and sadness to my soul. And the end is near, the end when truth alone will triumph. Oh, that the truth as it is in Jesus may be planted in the heart by the Holy Spirit, and daily tended there by the grace of God. Confederacies will increase in number and power as we draw nearer to the end of time. These confederacies will create opposing influences to the truth, forming new parties of professed believers who will act out their own delusive theories. The apostasy will increase. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Those who have started this warfare at their own charges will come more and more to practice the works of Satan.